Hey guys, welcome to another
Boop,
episode of the
boop,
Fully Geek
boop, boop,
Ladies.
boop,
Welcome to episode, this is episode 13, right?
Yes.
Aha.
Welcome to episode 13. And as usual, I'm Sharifa and we have T and Paulina. So today we are going to get into Lovecraft Country, which is an HBO show. And then we're going to go touch on some things that's been happening around us. Okay, take over, T.
Hi guys, how you doing?
I'm okay, could be better, but I'm good.
You know, that's life. I don't know why I always do that. I always end start talking
right
and then having this accent, like I'm one
I know
of the
it's oh my so God, annoying
you so
and it's
like
just can't shake it off.
Oh my God,
what's
Paulina.
Even more embarrassing, right, is when I meet someone with an accent, I'm like, hey, oh my God,
me
I'm
too.
Doing it right,
like literally. Oh, so I literally kidnapped
literally like ill.
I don't know what's happening.
Anyway, you can tell that Paulina and I have drunk our funny juice. But welcome guys to episode 13, as Sharifa said, and this is our Lovecraft Country special-ish because it's a new show with black people, and why not talk about a show with black people when you don't have many black people on TV? Anyway, so I don't even know where to start. I'll start by introducing the people that are in the show. So we have a lovely girl called Janae Smollett, who is actually the sister of Jussie Smollett from Empire.
Yes,
that is her. And she starred in Underground and True Blood, if you ever watched those shows.
Yeah.
We have Jonathan Myers, who is Tick, and he was in The Five Bloods and Gully. Or Cully, should I say? We have our lovely guy, Mr. Johnny Cochran, Courtney B. Vince. And then we have Michael K. Williams, who was Omar from The Wire. You must know his face. Everybody knows his face. And he's done so many other shows, but he's a bloody fantastic actor. And yeah, it's a show directed by, executively produced, let me correct myself, executive produced by Jordan Peele. You must know Jordan Peele, Get Out, and Us, and Misha Green. So Lovecraft Country is literally, I don't know, a sci-fi horror sort of
vibe
show starring black people. Big up the black people, massive.
For
we
a
are
change,
not,
right?
I'm telling you, we are not gangsters, we're not hoes, we are literally just people trying to survive. And it's literally about a young man returning home from the war. He is looking for his missing father, and just given the facts that where they live and how their history, who they were historically, or who his people were. Historically, there's twists and turns and things happen without giving too much away. But we're going to talk about episode 1 and 2 of season 1. Sharifa, take it away.
So it was actually based on the novel Lovecraft Country. So what I did like about it is the fact that they're traveling from state to state, and it shows the segregation that was happening I think it's based in the 1950s, isn't it? So it's just showing that segregation happening across America. So you can see as they travel in episode 1, they go through different states trying to find his father, as T mentioned. And I was surprised, I think, seeing certain things like how they weren't welcome in certain states and they were trying to kill them. It wasn't a shock to me because we've seen a lot of slavery movies, but recently, as I think Paulina mentioned in a few episodes, you're done with watching any slavery movies. And I think I'm there as well at that point. So when I saw it was a bit of a shock that, oh my gosh, like people actually went through that type of thing. So initially when it started, it just seemed like, oh, this is just another tale of, you know, segregation in America generally. Until we're hit with a blow when they get to the forest. And I'm like, yeah, now we're talking. This is my type of thing. I just love that point. I love that. T's just shaking her head.
Some bullshit.
But yeah, when it got to that point, I was like, yeah, now we're talking. Mm-hmm. So as you can clearly hear, this already is my kind of
the excitement. Are you orgasming, or are you reaching the climax?
I was so excited. The only thing is,
Teresa, where's your mind at today?
It's all right. Behave.
The only thing is, in episode one, we will touch on episode two anyway. But in episode one, yes, I was there. Now it's getting to a point where I'm just a bit like, oh, okay, this is getting a bit scary. You know? It's getting
scary.
Later on, not in season one, not in episode one, I mean. But okay. Yeah, episode one, that was me. That was me. I loved all the bits that they put into it. I think it was a bit where they were dancing and the sisters were singing in the blues. Mm-hmm. They were singing blues jazz. Would you say jazz mm-hmm. or blues? Yeah, I loved that scene. And it was all on the street and you just saw everyone just looked happy. Everyone was together. And it just made me think about, I know we spoke about this a couple of episodes ago, Black Wall Street. And I was just like, if we as Black people continue to be that together, can you imagine where we could be now? In certain areas, like, could you imagine? So I think just seeing that was a lovely, lovely sight for me.
What do you think, Paulina?
Well, I'm gonna have to rewatch it. Guys, you're gonna hate me. I'm gonna have to rewatch it to take it in. But from the looks of it, I don't know why. It takes a while to get into Black shows, and that sounds ridiculous. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. Oh, I know, right? I don't know what it is, but
we got a Karen, everybody. We got a Karen.
A Karen. No, darling, I'm not. I don't know. I'm going to have to watch it again. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to rewatch it and try and get into it. And then I'll come back with my thoughts on it.
Next week.
Yes. All right. Because I might be changed next week. Because when I see it, I'm just like, I just don't want to do it.
No, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. It seems as if the beginning is all about all segregation, Black people, racism, but you need to watch it a bit more. If you like a touch of sci-fi and you like a touch of thriller,
no,
you like
I'm not into sci-fi. Like, I realize I'm into like crime and gore and like investigative type thing.
It's gonna get a bit gory and
it gets a bit investigative.
Like, he is investigating. They're trying to find out what is happening generally. What is the secret society? What is this powers? What is this I won't say generational wealth, or what is this thing that their family have been deprived of that they are rightfully the owners of, if that makes sense. That
I just want films, like I think I said before, like I want films that are like, that make me feel good. I don't want things that keep reminding us of other people's history of Black people, if that makes sense. Like I left Black Panther, even though it's fiction, I left feeling good because it was a nice change to see a positive film about. So obviously I need to give it more of a chance.
Kind of a positive, from what I'm seeing from the trailers and stuff, there is some positivity in it. It's trying to reclaim your own power, basically. That's what it is. It's reclaiming something that was rightfully theirs already.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting from anyway from all the trailers I'm seeing.
Okay. So
it does get gory, it does get a bit dark. I'll say it does actually get quite dark. But again, that's just from 1 minute trailer I've watched. And the idea I'm getting from the two episodes I've watched, that's where it's heading to.
Yeah.
What do you think, T?
I really enjoyed it when it started. I thought, okay, this is a guy who likes to read what they called pulp books, but basically those are just books of make-believe, so sci-fi. Mm. It really confused me at the beginning because I was seeing, just not to spoil it too much, but I was seeing war, the opening credits, you see someone at war, then someone's narrating the story, then you see an alien, and then because baseball was so big, you then see this guy who was famous at baseball coming to defeat the aliens, and I'm thinking, hey, and then it snaps to real life, but you realize this boy was reading the book. The main character, Jonathan Mayers, who plays Tick, was reading a book. So you go, oh, okay, fine, that was his imagination. I completely get that. And then, you know, we go down this whole path of, you know, like Sharif has mentioned, racism, segregation, all the rest of it. And I was thinking, okay, he's come home. You know, you see this family, you see Black people, and they're happy, and they're living in their segregated life, this and the other. Then he realizes his dad is missing. I don't want to repeat everything that Sharif says, and they go to find his dad. And then some nonsense, some monsters
The monsters come and attack everybody. And I'm like, huh? And the thing for me, it was, and I get it.
Auntie.
And the thing is, I get it because it's Jordan Peele. If you ever watched Get Out, if you ever watched Us.
He's very random.
He's very random. So I got it instantly.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, everybody, but you're fucking up a good show. I was like, why was, basically, was there a need for that? And I know it's probably either me or, well, it's not either me, but I gather it's just the way he wanted it to be filmed. But when those surprise visitors, without spoiling it for our listeners, came about, it looked so different in terms of how it was filmed. And I just thought, this is very... Yeah, it looked very CGI. Sorry to cut you, Paulina. Sorry. Yeah. Those monsters for me looked so out of place compared to the rest of the
cast. Aren't real.
And I know it's not real, but you know when people merge, maybe he did this
because it takes away from the fact that it's not a typical film about X, Y, and Z. So that's probably why he's thrown that in there, because then you're like, huh?
If you ever know about the novel, that's kind of the basis of it. It's a horror. Like, if he was not going to base it on the book, then it would be a totally different show. We'll just be seeing a guy going through segregation looking for his father.
I get it.
But that's what it's based on. So it's
even if you're gonna bring monsters and stuff into it,
make it realistic. You think?
Yeah, there was. I don't. You know what it was? I think it was two things. I think, and it's great for the show. I like the fact that it started off where how it started off, because again, it sets the picture for the audience. So I was actually that person that was sitting down watching it thinking, this is the type of show I'm going to see. And yes, there's going to be mystery. There's going to be some crime. There's going to be some sexual activity and all the rest of it without these monsters. I wasn't expecting these monsters. And then when the monsters came, everything just, for me, it just went from... something serious to something just a bit like, really, like, what is,
but that is what like Get Out was like, because Get Out initially was like, oh my god, this is scary, and then it became a bit banterful towards the end.
That's what it's supposed to be, because if you think about it, no one ever really thinks about monsters and all these things in the 1950s. When you think about 1950s, all you think about is this segregation, seriousness, the racism. Whenever you think about sci-fi movies, they do power, people
it's never back in the day,
it's
is
never
it?
Back in the day. Even Captain America went straight from back in the day to the future.
It's
never really about that. So that's
guys,
what I liked about
me,
it. Was different.
It was just a bit like
left
what
field.
Also got my attention, because I'm still, the jury's out for me with this show, and I'm still going to persevere. But what also got my attention, and again, I'm not sure whether it was done intentionally, but as I was watching that show, there were elements of that show that I was thinking, this is so current. And his cousin that could draw, her comics looked very current. They didn't look like 1960s,
and the music didn't fit with the theme.
No, but I think that was what got me. So the music was actually organized or arranged by my favorite, I love this guy, Rafael Sadiq. If you you need to know.
No, but I mean, his music doesn't fit with the times of the film.
I think it's done intentionally, exactly.
He doesn't do anything just to do it. He's a creative person,
and everything in there, you know, the music is black, the music is by black people for black people. They even had in episode one a little snippet from James Baldwin from when he was doing one of his interviews. So when they were traveling, James Baldwin was
And I caught that.
That's bloody clever. I was like, okay, this is literally what's up. So as much as, and I guess they've done it in that sense, because as much as it's so far left in terms of like aliens and how it's filmed in terms of the picture, you still get the sense of, and they still don't want to take away from the fact that we are talking about black people in segregated America. We are talking about issues, and all these things are still very current. As much as it's filmed in from the 1950s, these things are still happening today, but just in a different way. But the music just the way the cousin could draw, for me, though, I felt that was very current, and those things drew me, and I really did enjoy it. I also want to touch on the sisters, and I'm probably, again, I always think too much about certain things, but
the dynamics,
not even the dynamics, but why did the
main sister have to be so fair, much more fairer than her other sister? I just feel like
they always
sometimes
do that.
When not it's really a colorism issue.
I don't think it's
a color for
it
me.
Is. It
for
is.
Me,
I feel like he did it intentionally though, because if you even listen to their argument, even if you listen to the way they were arguing, you can tell there's that element of it. You think you're better than me because you're closer to the white man's skin than I am. You could tell,
maybe,
even in the way the sister was angry at her. The way
but why
the
is that always
talking.
A feature in a storyline though?
But that's 1950s. That is part of what was happening in the 1950s though. True. So I don't see why it shouldn't be in there.
I didn't look at it from that point of view. So now that you said that, maybe it could be, maybe that is why they did it. But I just looked at it from a purely from the fact of she's clearly not the damsel in distress because she is Letitia.
Fucking Lewis. I love that.
But I just thought to myself, this is the main character, you know, her sister was the big, she's dark, she was equally beautiful though.
Yeah.
But then this main character now is the slimmest, the fairest one of all. She's got the body, got everything. And I'm just like, why couldn't they just reverse those roles for once? Just let the heroine be, or the woman that saves the day.
Well, hasn't finished yet. You never know.
It hasn't finished. But
it hasn't.
Sure,
and from the trailer,
Tarifa
raises
the point whereby it could literally be that her sister, because their colors are very different, and it could literally just be that.
Because the sister is going to be featured quite a lot in it. Mm.
I don't know. So for me, like I said, episode one, I watched it and I was just like, okay, yeah, this is great. And then like Jordan Peele, like, this is definitely your thing. But yeah, it was all right. I like the premise. I do like the premise. You know, there's a secret society, maybe, the secret land, maybe, and I need to go off and find my dad. But I'm really intrigued as to where it's going to go and why it's
going to go. It goes so
Lovecraft.
Many ways. That's why I do like it. The place is called Lovecraft, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So can I ask, do you guys read the books before you watch something, or do you watch something before you read the book?
Not necessarily. It depends on what it is and if it's something I've already watched before. I mean, I've already read before. Mm-hmm. Like 50 Shades I read before it came out. You know, there's certain books I've already read and then they
made 50
the
Shades, the way everyone was reading that book, I read that book as well.
I didn't.
You did it, but the film was trash. But the book
very
was good.
Trash. Very trash.
Yeah, the film wasn't that great.
I like to read books before I watch the shows. So had I, if it was a book that would have interested me, and I don't think it would have been a book that would have picked up in the library or the stores.
This one, Love Country.
Yeah. I probably would have read it first and then watched it, because I like to see whether the directors have actually picked up on certain elements. And also, when you read, it's your imagination. So how you view things and how you see things.
Yeah, sure.
And then when they then do an adaptation of it, you're thinking, I wouldn't have placed her. You know.
Yeah, people were outraged when you read The Hunger Games and they didn't describe them as anything, and then they had mixed race child playing a character. People were outraged, like, why is she mixed race? Blah, 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 blah. That's not what it says in the book. But it's the author was like, I didn't say anything within the book.
Exactly. But everybody has it in their
the
head,
image. Yeah. It's just some white
like
girl
that.
With rosy fair hair and rubbish. So yeah, not rubbish, you know what I mean? But you know what I mean.
Yeah. Get you. So episode two. Now
I have to confess.
You know what you're gonna say, girl.
I just haven't been on ball lately, I'm telling ya. Gosh, it's not
easy.
You know
what you're gonna say.
Yeah.
You know what you're gonna say. So I don't even know how to give this some context. So at the end of episode one, they end up at a house that is run by three blonde people, aka white people, but they've got
okay, I was
hair.
Gonna say, were they wearing wigs?
It's not run by three blonde people, it's run by one
well,
and then the daughter.
Well, we don't know that yet, do we? We don't know.
We do
yet.
In episode two.
That's what, but no, but the beginning of episode two, they're standing at the door.
We start right from the beginning.
Yeah, we got to start
zero, from the beginning.
Yeah. They're standing right by the door. There's this guy, and obviously we know that he's gonna be associated to there's a blonde woman, and we know that because in episode one the blonde woman helps them escape some Jim Crow people. So I don't want to give too much away, because if you haven't seen it, because it's just come out last week, then you should go out and see it, and then you, everything I'm saying will make sense. But if you have seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So this run, they go into this house and they feature they're visited by a white man, and they have everything that they want basically in the rooms that they're staying in. And that, again, that's when I got intrigued further, because I was like, okay, all of a sudden you're now in this house and Tick is in, we don't actually see what room Tick's in, do we, Sharifa? No. But the girl, Letitia Litt, she has clothes galore. Everything fits her to a glove, and she's just loving the fact that she can change her outfits. And then Tick's uncle, who travels with them, I think he's called Uncle George, he's got books because he loves to read. Anyhow, yeah, so they're in this house, and these people are strange, and they're being watched, and they kind of get that, you know, they're not meant to be there, but they're meant to be there, but they're not meant to be there. And I was watching those shows, and I was watching that episode, and I was thinking to myself, if I'm going to look for my dad, I know I'm I live in a world where white people don't like me, and these white people are giving me everything I need. That to me sounds, the analogy that came to my head was like a cobra, one of those boa constrictor snakes. They will come and they will slightly lie next to you, and you think, oh, my snake is literally nice.
They're just really measuring you.
They're measuring you up to come and eat you.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, that's
is that
what
an anaconda?
One of them snakes.
Yeah, cobra's tiny.
Or one of them say anaconda and whatever.
Anaconda.
Yeah, I don't know animals. Okay.
It's a reptile.
Steve Irwin, I'll find
you know
him.
Why I know this? My son is obsessed with reptiles, snakes, and everything, so he'd correct okay. you too. Yeah.
Fair enough. and I'll welcome it. Yeah, so I found it strange that they didn't leave straight away or try to. They said they would, but they didn't. And it just got weird again. It just got, I don't know, I can't look, you can even tell from the way I'm talking. The whole thing just got weird.
If for someone who hasn't watched it, listening to this, it sounds so all over the place.
A little
is
bit.
It? Okay.
It is and it isn't. The premise is that they're looking for the dad, but things start happening, and I just don't understand why those things are happening and how they're happening.
Something. It all leads up to, I think.
Yeah, but it's so random. Fresh.
Yeah, it will be random, but if you think about how everything happened, all right. So they've gone to the house. They have nowhere else to go. The vampires, or whatever you want to call them, are outside.
The vampires.
That's what they're called, vampires. That's what they call them. They kept calling them vampires, but they're a weird type of vampires. They've come to this house.
Sorry.
They're looking for his dad. Sorry.
You're actually talking about the vampires. I thought you were talking about the people.
They do have a vampire feel to them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, sorry.
So they're looking for their dad, and they're looking for answers. It's not just the dad he's looking for. They're looking for the secret society. In episode one, they go for a lot of documents, even stumble on the sheriff that attacked them in episode one, that a lot of black people have been missing. So they're on a journey to uncover a lot. And his family, as you can hear from him and Uncle George, his family have always been into adventure, into finding answers, into secret societies, into books, into all these type of stuff. So they've got to the house, and they know the house is leading them somewhere to find his dad. So they're not going to leave right away, because they need the answers that they haven't gotten yet. Of course, things are weird. For me, I feel like Tick knows more than he's letting on. Because in episode one, he went to call someone. Remember, the person said on the phone, is that you, Tick? You shouldn't have left. And then he hung up. So there's something going on behind the scene, and he keeps he keeps seeing that same Korean lady. Mm. So there's something that obviously he's not let on yet. So I feel like he knows more than he's actually saying. So they've gone there, they're looking for the dad, of course. They are seeing that there's something else to it. So obviously they show them the picture of their found, there's always a founding father, a founding couple, a founding
board. There's always a founding something. So he's seen them. It kind of looks a bit KKK-ish, but obviously they said it's not KKK-ish. And
it would never hurt you.
I find that butler, whoever he is, a bit funny as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's so much going on there, and they keep saying this is rightfully yours. So if you are a black man that's gone somewhere and people keep telling you it's rightfully yours, you're intrigued. You're trying to find out what exactly it is. And obviously, they're spellbound as well. Because as we see in episode 2, Uncle George and Letitia fucking Lewis both forget what happened in episode 1. They don't even remember being attacked. They just remember being there. He's the only one for some reason that remembers everything. And then we see them being put into different rooms. Yeah, you're right.
Because that whatever spell that lady has on
it doesn't work on him for some reason. I don't think they did it intentionally. I think he's just got, obviously we see in episode 2, without giving too much away, that he has it in his bloodline. The power is in his bloodline. Mm. So as you can see, the main guy wants to get back to Garden of Eden. That's what he wants, to open the portal to get back there so he can get immortality. So overall, that board, they're trying to get immortality. That's what it is. Mm. And Tick is the, his blood is the one that will open the portal, because his great-great-great-granddad was actually the founder of the clan. So that's why you hear Adam, as he called himself, you hear the main guy of the mansion say, I thought you'd be light. You're actually darker than I thought, because his great-great-great-great-granddad was white.
Adam, by the way, is Tony Goldwyn. If you don't know who Tony Goldwyn is, Scandal. He is President Fitz from Scandal. Fitz!
He still acts like Fitz. Even the way he does. You know when he pulls with his chest, when he does that chest movement.
When he walks.
That's all I could see. So initially, before I knew it was him, when I was watching, I just saw a blonde guy, so I didn't really look. And then when I saw it was him, it just changed the whole thing. Before I took him seriously, I was like, ooh, yeah, he's the scary man of the Mystery Mansion. But when I realized it was Fitz, I was like, oh, it's just Fitz.
As soon as I saw his face, I was like, oh, Olivia's going to come any minute. Right. But you know what? The show is so random, I wouldn't be surprised.
But the thing is, we think it's random because they've dived right into it, right?
Yeah.
If they'd really taken their time and all these things kept coming out in bits, we would get it. But for me, I get what's happening. Basically, he is the bloodline that rules a secret society, a secret power that we don't know of. Mm-hmm. And it could be powers in terms of wizards, let's just say, or they've got some power. Mm-hmm. And he naturally has in his blood that the clan want for themselves so they can get immortality. Mm-hmm. But obviously, as we saw, it didn't work, because his great-great-great-great-grandmother's eyes still on him. Her spirit still lives on, so she didn't allow it.
Yeah. The show for me is, like Paulina described, it's slightly all over the place and somewhat can confuse you if you're not concentrating hard enough. So there were bits whereby Atticus or Tick, George and Letitia, they were in their rooms and they were seeing things and things are happening.
I love that bit.
I love that bit too. When I realized what was happening, because at one point I was thinking to myself, sugar, it's a bit too soon for to be a love interest.
I knew it from that point. That's where I knew it was fake.
Yeah, I just thought to myself, I don't get this. But then when I realized that actually it's fake, I was like, so this is what's happening. And it's things like that are gripping me to continue to watch the show. But every time I see a bloody
horror friggin' bit.
No, it's not even a horror. It's just those monsters. I don't know what it is. And I guess that it's meant to be filmed that way. They look so out of place. All I see is green screen. You know, like when you're watching a show and behind it, you can blatantly tell this is green screen.
Oh,
all I see
the
is
the part
green
where
screen.
The cow gave birth to one of them.
Yeah.
How random. He's a random guy. That's the thing. I don't expect anything less. Like, I expected those type of things to happen because it's him. Do you get what I mean? He's that type of random. You see random stuff.
I get it. But you know, with Get Out and Us, did you both see Us?
I've seen Us.
And Get Out.
Yeah.
For me, as much as they were random, it was very cleverly done.
That's very predictable.
But then remember, guys, those two were movies. By the end of the movie, it was all cleverly done. This is a series. By the end of the series, everything may make sense.
But right now, episode 1. No, I am going to give it a chance. But I'm saying there's something about this show that, that intrigues me. But at the same time, I'm looking at, because it intrigues me as to why we keep going. It's almost, it's not different worlds or time travel, but we keep going in and out of different things. I'm thinking, is this reality? Is it not reality? Because I get the premise. In the end, we might be just be all watching something out of a storybook. Who knows? Mm. Because the program began with someone in love with pulp, not pulp books. So it could be that. But the fact that we keep going in and out of different realms, should I say, or different realities, is what's intriguing me. However, at the same time, there are elements of the show that I'm just looking at and I'm just like, why did you go and do that? Why now? Like, really? And that for me spoils it. Like, I get gripped and then something happens, I'm like, oh damn, like, why? But yeah, I'm still going to continue on. I do think it's one of those shows that you have to sit down and watch, otherwise you're going to miss certain parts and certain things may not necessarily make sense. So if you are going to watch it, you have to definitely take the time out to watch it. Each episode is about an hour long for now, and again, I don't know whether the first one was that more was slightly longer than normal because it was
the first one
and the pilot, but even episode two was about 56 minutes. I'm being very precise, but and I just thought, oh, this is just long. So it's not one of those things that you can just sort of like say, yeah, I'm watching this and doing other things, unless that's you're skilled and gifted at doing that,
which that's my skill set.
But yeah, for what it's worth, I'm definitely going to continue on watching it. It's not bad.
I think it's just because they dived straight in the second episode, and it was a lot for a lot of people. There was just so much going on.
Yeah,
I think that's just what it is. But I think it will make sense at the end of it.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's too early to say. But even when I finished the end of episode two, I was thinking, there's not going to be a season two of this, but I could be wrong. And it's too early to say, but I guess I was in my feelings.
Yeah. I think definitely keep going. I'm definitely going to watch it. It's up my street because it's just different from my usual anyway. So it's interesting to me, but I think, it was a lot. Second episode was a lot to take in because even after I was just like, oh my gosh. Oh my god!
I'm gonna give it a go,
but I think it would be a good watch to kind of carry on.
Okay, I'll give it a go. I'll stop being
Karen. As time goes by, it seems like one of those shows that, depending on the topic that they're going to talk on, the sex scenes are going to be very graphic and very like explicit.
They'll probably be flying in the air.
Yeah, and then you're going to have some mystical creature touching you up. Huh? Going,
okay,
Chris, are you horny?
What kind of porn do you watch? Bloody hell.
I don't want to watch
porn. Boy.
Should I be watching some porn? Maybe that's another topic of conversation later. I'm
fully geek, but we don't need to do fully geek pornography porn.
We do not need
Shall we change the conversation?
Yeah, that's the way.
What are you getting about?
Hey, me?
Yes, good girl.
I'm innocent.
Oh, please.
Oh, whatever, girlfriend.
Honestly, miraculous conception.
Really? Right. He only gave that to to Mary. And your
and how do you know
Paulina?
I'm not Mary number two? Please.
Your name's Paulina. guys. So that was our little intro, special intro, if you want to call it that, of Lovecraft Country. Give it a go. I know we probably all sound a bit like all over the place because
that's the show
is literally kind of all over the place, but in a good way. And again, us watching it, we might be missing the points of certain things, so if you are listening to it and you want to shout us out and let us know, like, actually you'd fail to mention this and this is the reason why, then please do so. So next we have what's been happening this week. Whoop. And we've got
the boy's mine.
Oh, what's happening? System error.
You
it's
need to give it up. Who's Monica? Had a bad in
Oh my God, guys, come on. We want more listeners. It's okay.
Just wait, I'll do it. Why you do the things you do?
It's okay.
Do you know what? I'm not a fan of female singers, okay. So
really?
I'm not. I don't really care about this versus TBH.
What?
This is the only song I appreciate.
So you don't actually.
I don't like Brandy.
Oh my god.
Okay, guys. Girl. For the listeners, we are talking about the verses that's going to be happening on Monday, the 31st of August.
That's the views.
Wow.
Is that's the views Instagram? Of Paulina, not the Philly Geek lady.
I'm just not into it. So
between Monica and Brandy, they're going to battle out. And Paulina is like, you know what? Paulina's a baby.
You guys are lost.
Yeah, she's a baby.
What do you mean?
I'm like two, three
years younger than you guys.
Listen, you were about three or four when Brandy started singing.
Excuse me. Girl. I listened to Nat King Cole. You were like two.
Okay. Oh, she dropped one.
Girls cultured.
Sam Cooke, you know? I ain't young. I'm cultured.
Who doesn't? Who does it, though? I think almost everyone and their mama listens to that.
That's literally why.
But listen, I think I get what Paulina is saying, because I personally, outside of her, outside of her voice and some of her songs, I don't really like Brandy that much.
No. What song is Monica sung? Sing something. What song is Monica sung other than this one?
When it cause you no pain. No. Yeah, I just wanna go.
I would have definitely skipped that.
The same. You're
making me not want to listen to her. Just so you know. This is awful. I hope you edit this out.
You know what, Paulina? Listen, yeah, we don't want to lose listeners. Yeah.
Yeah, so you better stop singing.
No,
what do you mean?
How can you not know? Monica is a legend in the R&B world.
I'm not into female singers. I just can't. I just don't know what it is. Yeah, no.
Let me tell you something.
For me, back in the day, music was like slow jams, Boyz II Men.
Back in the day. This is how I know you're not back in the day.
Back in your day. I'm back in my day, darling.
Oh, come on. I'm not that old, mate.
Guys.
Oh, God.
All I know, I hear what you guys are saying. Brandy, like, she will smash it with just the Full Moon album, whether you guys know or not. Full Moon album alone will just wipe Monica out.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I'm a bit biased because I wasn't necessarily a Monica fan. I was more a Brandy fan than a Monica fan. And if I'm honest, that is pretty much the only Monica song that I actually remember and sticks in my head. But Brandy and Full Moon, what? Ah, she's going to win. Always understand what she's saying, because she sings in
singers don't articulate at all.
It's not articulate. She's got this and you're like what were you actually saying? You've got to properly listen to her.
It's funny.
Monica has a few hits, you know. Why I Love You So Much. Before you walk out alive,
sing
Baby,
I Love You So Much.
That's just why I love you so much.
Oh, see, dry.
And then Angel of Mine.
Angel of mine. Yeah, but it's so like slow.
I like that song, kind of.
She doesn't have that many. And no. Sideline Ho. I love that song. That was 2006. She had one with Usher, didn't she?
Did she? I can't even remember.
Yeah, she had one with Usher. I'm sure it was her. Oh gosh, let me remember. Yeah, it's a slow jam. Play another slow jam.
Oh, yeah.
I'm making me.
Or whatever. But listen, Brandy, her Never Say Never album. I even forgot
Brandy's
about Never
gonna
Say
win.
Never.
To be honest, I think Brandy's going to win. Brandy has more songs.
Top of the world with Mace. That's a tune. Never Say Never. Angel in Disguise. Okay, yeah, The Boy Is Mine. She did it with Monica. Then you got the Full Moon album. Like,
yeah, she did. And the Aphrodisiac album as well.
That's
a tune.
Come on, Brandy. Is it me or Is it called
I have a little confession here. Me and my little brother, used to really think we were some next singers back in the day.
Oh my goodness.
We used to sit on the top. We used to sit on the top of the 168 bus, yeah.
She's even naming buses 168. Yeah.
168 singing Paradise, you know, Brandy and Ray J. We never got kicked off, so we would do something right.
Well, anyone had headphones in?
It's crazy. Nope. I thought though initially that Brandy and Monica weren't going to do it.
Yeah, they don't get along anyway. They've still got issues.
Really? What's their issues? Beef?
I don't think it's even spoken of. They don't
after,
like
after
that.
The boy is mine.
I think so, yeah. It's always been a thing. Brandy and Monica, they've always been a thing there that they just even when they asked, I think Brandy was in an interview about Versus, and even her answer was a bit like, oh, okay, you don't want to do it. But so I was surprised when I saw that they were actually gonna do one. I'm excited. I actually would be tuning in to listen to it.
It's on Monday though, isn't it? It's just like, oof.
That's the only thing. It's a Monday, and like, they're going to be playing quite a lot of slow jams, so it's going to be a...
Oh, I'm going to fall asleep. They shouldn't play. Well, Brandy should not play many slow jams. She's got hits for days. Like,
Brandy's got hits. I think people are just there for the interaction of how they interact, because they've never been in the same room or doing things like this since The Boy Is Mine. So I think people are here to see how they interact, to see if there's going to be a, ooh, she said this, ooh, shade.
What's
and Monica
favorite?
Can shade. Monica can shade.
Big time. Monica reminds me of Latoya Luckett's character in Greenleaf for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe it's short hair. But
I think the hair.
Whenever I see Latoya Luckett, I just think of Monica. But what is your favorite Versus so far?
Erykah Badu and Jill Scott, definitely.
Yeah, that was vibes.
Really? Yeah. I'm torn between that and then I'm torn between the Kurt Franklin one. Kurt Franklin.
Oh, yeah, that was Fred Hammond.
You know, we've opened for Kurt Franklin before. Just
oh, wow.
Out there. Yeah, a couple years. When I was pregnant with Joshua, actually, I was like a week away.
Oh, nice.
Kurt Franklin. Yeah, I like that one as well. I think I actually cried on that one.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. It was very uplifting. I loved that. Yeah. I think that trumps Erykah Badu and Jill for me.
Really? Nah, Badu and Jill. I just loved seeing those two queens together. Like,
that was good. But if I have to put
the last
them
time
order,
we've seen them together has been years. It was nice.
My name is JILLSCOTT.
I'm the biggest Jill Scott fan. Oh my God.
Jill Scott.
I love that
on the radio.
If you're listening to this, Jill, I love you.
We love you, Jill. Come on our show.
Auntie Jill.
I can't wait. It's going to be a little bit of nostalgia.
What's your favorite Brandy song at the moment? Not at the moment, but what's your favorite all time? It might change when you listen to the verses, but what's your favorite?
The Boy Is Mine. That's all I know.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
That's what I like singing.
I don't know.
Almost doesn't count.
Nah.
I love that one.
I think I like Never Say Never. I can't remember how that goes.
Never Say Never.
Yeah.
How do you like it? You never remember it.
Your renditions of songs are fantastic. You know when it's in your head and then you just can't
bring it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I think mine might be Almost Doesn't Count, I think. And When You Touch Me. I like When You Touch Me.
Oh. It almost doesn't count. See, can't keep on running. That's it.
I hear a... You guys are making this sound amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Whatever.
Miss Vocal Trainer.
I'm going to listen to it when I get off this. So cute.
I think Brandy is going
to. I think I'm going to listen to Brandy when we get off.
Yeah, me too. It's like, yeah, let me just do some work while I'm listening to Brandy.
I do love me.
Relive
a bit of Brandy.
The memories of, you know, the braids and everything else. And M to the O to the E to the.
I just don't really like her new stuff. I'm more.
Have you listened
Brandy.
To her new album? Oh
no,
my gosh, B7.
It, you know.
Oh,
is it good?
My gosh.
If it's good, I might give it a go.
No, 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 no.
Ah, nah, it's all right then.
I was in the car I was I can't remember where I was driving from, but it was about an hour's drive. I said, let me just listen to something other than the radio. I thought, oh yeah, Brandy's got a new album. And you know, like, because you're using your phone as your tom-tom.
And your battery life.
My battery's fine, but you can't necessarily always change the tune.
Yeah,
I hate that. And I'm listening to this album and I'm just like, Brandy, really? And for me, sometimes her voice is so husky. Certain things that she's saying, I'm thinking, what the?
I love you, baby. Just can't get into female singers. I just find it too nasally, too whiny.
Really? Nah, depends on who. You've got some deep soulful singers like Jill Scott again.
Yeah, it depends. Yes, like Jill Scott, Jasmine Sullivan.
I can listen to Mary for days. Mary J. Blige?
No. I'm not a big fan.
No, you guys.
She's always
for me. Leanne LaHavas.
Oh my gosh, I saw her in concert. I saw her in concert.
There's one time I actually fainted, but pretended to faint. No, not fainting properly. No, listen.
She's new school,
there was
right?
one. Yeah, but yeah. she's amazing. There was she's one amazing. Song I forgot that she hadn't sung it, and I was like, oh,
which one is it?
Oh,
which one is it?
When I wait to find oh, I was like, because the whole room was silent and her voice was so crisp. Oh, I just love her.
I have a video of that. I think I was at the same concert you were at.
I was sitting upstairs. It's Hackney Empire.
No. Mine was outdoors. It was summertime.
Oh, no.
And it was like that. Literally everyone kept quiet.
It was pitch. You could hear a needle drop. That's how everyone was just in
and that's my favorite
voice.
Song that's my favorite
yes
song.
Her, that whole album was my favorite album her yeah. Nora Jones I'm quite old
oh I like
I'm
Nora quite Jones.
Love a bit of Nora Jones if we're talking about female singers that's my kind of vibe
so you but, do but, like female singers like, you just like soulful ones you like
okay
really
yeah, let's say that then
exactly.
but people that come and scream at me I'm not interested I don't hear it
yeah but you're talking about new schools
yeah old school though
I don't know the
Toni Braxton.
Tony Braxton.
You need to.
She'll be your vibe. I think she'll be your vibe. If you like.
It depends. She's very
if like. If she likes Snow Allegra. Like,
yeah. A little bit.
Not really.
A little
different,
bit.
Different kind of category. Different.
Because I love me some Snow.
I love a bit of Snow.
Yeah.
Love a bit of Sabrina Claudio. Or Claudio. How do we say that?
Okay.
She's good. But this is like you said, this is new school, not old school.
Yeah.
But if we're talking old school, Tony Braxton.
Is she like Kali Uchis? You know who Kali Uchis is?
I like Tony, but not that much, to be honest.
Tony Anyone Ryan, know who's about Kali Uchi?
No, not heard of her.
I don't think
so. Oh my gosh, you guys will like Kali Uchis.
I need to check that.
So, 2018, her Isolation album is just a bomb, diggity, diggity, dig. But yeah, so that's Verses. I mean, we digress. So we've dropped a few names of people that you must listen to as well.
Leanne LaHavas.
Yeah, okay. Pauline is riding for Leanne.
Lost and Found album is
the best.
The bomb, diggity.
Also try Kalila if you guys. She's Kalila. Yeah, Kalila's is another good.
I've heard of her.
Newish, oldish. Yeah, she's quite good.
India Ari for me as well.
Oh, come on. India Ari is a legend.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure about India.
No. Let me get out of here, boo boo.
Let me take that back. It's not that I'm not sure about India, but it's just that.
I think today our listeners have really heard us sing.
That song is
deep.
Yeah,
I love India.
Oh, I'm going to do that when I get off this.
You know I love girls.
Oh, dear.
I can tell when you're speaking. I can hear
the
money.
Where are your people
Did
from?
Anyone ever like Music Soul Child?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah. I loved him. Like,
I love this
I have
so
a whole
much.
Album.
I just never
the thing is, I can't
never
listen to a whole album.
To be that short.
There's only one couple of albums I listen to back to front, but Music Soul Child, it's just a couple of songs for me, not all his
really?
Albums.
Yeah, I can listen
can't
to
do the whole album.
Listen, I just want to sing. Just listen. Oh my goodness. So beautiful.
Anthony Hamilton.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
I've seen him in concert. His voice. I was just
really good. There's only a couple of songs I like.
Oh my gosh, his album.
Charlene is one of my favorites.
Back to Love,
I like.
And what's the other one? Point of It All.
The Point of It All.
Tune. Yeah. I like him as well, though.
Versus got us all reminiscing about the music. So now you know a little bit about us and the type of
Eric Benet. Oh, Joe,
come on. I love Eric Benet. I love it. Yeah.
Little bit of Joe.
Yeah, who doesn't like Joe?
Uncle Joe. I saw him in concert.
Didn't he do a versus?
No, he no. should do. But who would he verse? That's a good
R.
question.
R. Kelly, but then Tank. No one's repping.
R. Kelly. No one. R. Kelly. No. What about
they were
Tank?
Around at the same time. Tank? Nah, not Tank. I like Tank, but I'm saying Joe can't do one with Tank.
What I'm trying to say
Neo?
Is...
No, not Neo. No.
Look, can we... Let's...
Sorry.
2 seconds. If R. Kelly wasn't the...
Can't say his name.
That we can say his
exactly.
name.
That's what I'm saying at the moment.
If R. Kelly wasn't the monster that he was, there is no... male artist that could touch R. Kelly.
Michael Jackson?
No.
Listen, Michael different.
Touch Michael, okay.
Yeah, Michael
R.
Jackson
Kelly and who?
You can't put Kelly you can't put no in nobody.
Listen,
R. Kelly will just need to come up with The Closet, part 1 to part 12 in your
I remember my siblings did part 1 to 5. We did a reenactment of the whole thing. We were
part 1 to 12.
7 o'clock in the morning.
I was so excited by that. I remember going to college going, oh my God.
I'm going to come back. I was like, I remember coming back from college like, I need to run back because part 3 is coming out.
I know it all the words. It's pathetic. But I know it.
And then when the video came out.
Can you ever do chapter 1?
Nah, it's okay, Felina. It's okay.
And then when the video came up for it, we were like, oh my God.
We created the whole video in Ghana. Literally, it was so funny.
What kind of Gollywood is going on there? Polina, it's okay.
No, me and my siblings.
See, carry on, it's okay. Polina, it's okay.
It's a few years ago.
Guys, should I meet Polina, yeah?
My whole point of what I was trying to say Gollywood. Is that R. Kelly, aside from what he was doing in his personal life, he was a musician.
He's different.
A genius when it came to music. He was.
I find it mad that he can't read or write, but he can sing and like
no,
write songs like
now.
That.
He could read now.
No, he can't.
Chale, he can't. He might not be able to read your age if his plaster's on you, but he can read. Anyway,
over the age of certain ages.
Oh, I don't think anyone.
I think I can never get over that interview where they asked about the child. He goes, "What age are you talking about? How young?" I'm like, "Dude, you're digging your grave."
So illiterate.
How young are we talking?
Like 10?
Oh my gosh.
And then he goes, "How young?" And then he goes, "No." I'm like,
"What do you mean?" The first thing you say is "No," not "How young are we talking?"
We have so digressed today.
We have. But for me, as I was saying, that I don't think anyone could touch R. Kelly when it comes to his music.
It's true.
Definitely.
I do not believe it. So when you think about Joe and R. Kelly, like, you can't put anyone next to R. Kelly. R. Kelly will smash Usher. R. Kelly will smash Joe. R. Kelly.
I think Joe and Tyrese.
Joe wins. Tyrese, how many? What?
These are the like just the other day that we used
to. That's it.
Sounds of lovemaking.
That's what I was saying. These are the sounds of love.
Oh, that's a tune. I'm done.
Are you the
I'm going to listen to this when I get off the phone.
Yeah, I think we need to definitely do a music one.
Yeah, we do. I'm a Scorpio.
Yeah, that was a track.
I just don't see it. Like, people were talking about Usher and
Chris Brown.
Yeah, that's not a match. They're completely different.
But I think
Usher won.
Yeah, Usher will win. I mean, 8701, that album alone will smash.
Literally. It depends. So that's the thing. I think Chris Brown is.
When he was young, he was too.
Chris Brown's got tracks.
He's
don't
got
get
track,
me wrong.
Man.
Chris Brown has got tracks.
Don't.
But let's be real. Can those tracks, apart from Sex You Back to Sleep, Girl. Oh, I love that song.
Tune, yeah. Teresa, are you sure you're not horny? No, because at the beginning you said something. You said a few were like...
It's the way she was acting. It was the way Sharifa was acting. And when she mentioned Love Country... No, Sharifa was like, Love Country. Love Country. Oh my God, guys. I'm really, really excited.
And then someone mentioned watching porn. Listen, this is getting out of hand today.
No, it's not. But that's my favorite, my all-time favorite Chris Brown song.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He's just got quite a few that I like.
I like Privacy as well.
Yeah. Okay,
now.
Anyhow.
Exactly. But for me, Usher will just smash him out the window again. 87-01. Yeah. Who Confessions. Those Usher two and albums.
Joe? Oh, yeah. Confessions was quite good.
Joe. Yeah. Nah. Anyway, guys. Again, we died.
Run it.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, we're gonna be here all day.
Exactly. So let's swiftly move on. So everybody, you've got insight into what music we like listening to and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. But the verses between Monica and Brandy is on Monday. On Verses, which is on Instagram, so check it out.
Have a listen.
And let us know who you think. I think I'm predicting Brandy's gonna win. To be fair, the Verses is not really like that anyway. It's just about good music and
But people make it about who's better than who.
But
though.
I guess that's how it's. I guess it started out like that. It was meant to be like that. But no one's beefing. No one's coming up in your face and being like, whatever. It's just about having a good vibe. So we'll see. But I think people will probably gravitate more towards Brandy. Well, the UK people anyway. I don't know too much about Monica. I'd never really paid much attention to Monica apart from that one song that we sang at the beginning.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know any of her music.
I do. I know a few. Yeah. I like her.
Also, what was happening this week, we've just been announced that we have our first LGBTQ+ train, which will be run.
It's a train going to be multicolored.
Yeah, I think so.
Which it's got a multicolored exterior.
Which is going to be run by staff who are all within that community, the LGBTQ community.
Can I ask, why does it have to be a thing? Why?
Why does what have to be a thing?
Why does LGBTQ have to be a thing? I feel like you love who you love, and unfortunately, yes, people are judgmental about it. But it's nobody's business. So why do you have to walk around declaring that you're
LGBT? Because it was a thing.
Because it was a thing. They had to fight for what they wanted to be. So it had to be a thing.
Like now that it's not, why do we have to now make
it a thing?
Because
they're still fighting. I don't think it's not a thing. There are still people out there that will judge you because of your sexuality and may not give you that job.
How does what you do behind closed doors and who you love anybody's business?
That's people though. But my main thing about this, are they now going to do a train that's all staffed by black people?
Of course not.
That's my thing.
Because
I'm
then
not against.
It'd be called thuggery.
That's the thing. I'm not against what they're doing. I think they're doing it because, okay, maybe some of them are not getting the jobs that they want because of judgment. Because my thing is, why was it done? Why was it done?
And the thing is, the fact that you also have to tick the boxes that you're in, like you're male, female, blah, blah, blah. Why is that anyone's business? If it's now what you identify as, why does it need to be proven? And then why does it generally need
in
to be
in a job
judged?
Application, yeah.
Yeah.
They won't do an all-black train because an all-black train is about race and you can't...
Look how they're fuming about that.
Hold on. Let me land. You can't race. When you do that, you're not including everybody. When you talk about the LGBTQ community, you can be black, white, Puerto Rican or Asian.
Are they going to give us that ratio?
I was thinking about a song. We don't know. But then that will be another discussion to have. That ratio.
Are they
going to
give us this ratio of how many black people are in that? And how many?
Well, again, as much as I'm all for fighting for my people and everything else, but we've got to think about how many people are actually going to apply for those jobs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So sometimes everything that we see is not always clear cut. Many black LGBTQ people going to apply for the roles, because we also know that within the black community, being a homosexual is frowned upon, and it's still quite frowned upon. As much as certain people and certain families are slowly becoming open to it, it's still frowned upon. So now, do you want to be that first person in your family that is openly going to go and say you're working
be on the BBC News smiling as well on the train going,
so it's
going to
be quite hard.
It's not going to work.
And I do get the points that have been coming across, like, how come this community are getting, they're progressing much further than Black people are progressing.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And I get it to a degree because their fight encompasses everybody. So it's male, it's women, it's Asians, it's Blacks, it's people with disabilities. It's not
covers
just
everyone.
It covers everyone. Black people just covers Black people. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And unfortunately, when we, if we fight for a system or something that is just for us, and I do believe there's certain things need to be just for us, we are slowly introducing segregation. Whether anybody likes it or not, we are slowly introducing segregation. We were segregated. Is it now a case of we now want to be segregated because we want what we want? Or I guess my point is what are we fighting for? We want to be accepted, but in order to be accepted,
have equal rights.
To be accepted and have equal rights, a lot of the things that we fight for are just for us, but then it segregates us. So therefore we're just fighting so that we can have things.
But then
we're fighting to be equal, we shouldn't worry about not having a train full of Black people. We should but other people are saying exactly the same thing as you,
stupid Billy Steele, who was just being racist for no reason
on the train.
You're trying to mind your business and go where you want to go, and you've got people who want to be racist towards
you. But that's my point. We shouldn't have to have our own Black train to go where we want to go.
The thing
we
is, I don't
on
think
train with everybody else.
Instances like that, it would be okay if we had our own Black train. It avoids these things happening.
No, but I get what Teresa's saying.
I get it.
The fight needs to be up front. We can't fight and say segregate ourselves is the answer for our fight, because if we do that, then we're going to just keep segregating ourselves. It's not going to solve anything. It's just going to mean we find our comfort in the all Black train, or we find our comfort in the all Black whatever. And I do, for my frame of mind is, they fought for us to not be segregated, and it's not worked in the sense that we're not equal. So yes, that's why some people feel like we need to go back to the segregating ourselves. I get why people are saying that, because if you look at other communities, they haven't segregated themselves, but they've kept to themselves, and that has nourished their community. Like, 100%. Without naming, if you look at some of the Asian community, if you look at some of the Jewish
they
community,
they work together and they thrive. Together
and they thrive very well working
that's
together.
That's very different from segregating.
That's what I said. They're not segregating themselves, but they are community-based. They're working hard within their community to bring up their community. And that's something we need to do without having to fight for segregating ourselves. So bringing back to the point of the train, I take that back. I don't think there should be a train for just us. But with everything else going on with the Black Lives Matter, it starts from our community. We need to work together in our community and not fight for segregation. We need to fight for being equal, but we need to
sort out what's going on within our community.
We need to be equal in our own community without thinking about, she's lighter than me, or she's darker than me, or this person's richer than me. We need to sort that community.
You know what I'm tired of seeing in the comments? For some reason, they love to keep posting about a Black guy being a white woman, and they've got the stupid people in the comments be like, oh, here comes all the angry Black girls hating on their relationship. Why does that keep coming up? Who are these people that are sitting there saying these negative comments about someone's relationship?
Because that's just
when the roles are turned around, it's the same thing. But it's never brought up.
Nobody's saying this, but they're sitting there making it
everyone
a narrative.
Can just be with whoever they want.
Like, that's
to be
Theo
with.
Campbell, that's blind in one eye, decided to put a post about Black women and stuff like that. It's just like, who's saying this? Other than
and this
you.
Is what, this is something that annoys me as well. It's in general, sometimes it's always the Black man doing that. And I'm like, why does it have to keep being that cycle? Why do you have to always portray...
Let it be your type and be quiet. Like, nobody's talking about you, who you fancy. No one cares.
Why do you always have to portray us as being the angry person when sometimes we
nobody
actually
wants
do not
you.
Care?
Literally.
And somebody that likes to go out a lot and mingle with the youth. That sounded so wrong. But when I say going out, I think those comments, although they're not right, stem from attitudes that men probably get from women when they're out. So I've been out.
They already time. Come with that energy because they think that's what they're coming to meet
to be
with.
Honest, no, yes, no, no, no.
I've seen it on the train.
I've seen it.
When I'm on the train, this girl, I've had a girl looking at me as if I'm looking at her. I didn't look at her once because I felt that's what the energy she was trying to come with. Like, I've got a black boyfriend and I'm sitting opposite a black girl. She was giving me that kind of energy. I was like, I don't
care. Yeah, that's a white girl, yeah? That's a white girl.
I've had it.
The black guy has a bit of a thing.
That
too.
Is completely different to what I was saying. That white girl energy facing the black girl, completely different, because I used to live where I used to live. There was a couple, and I felt that from
the guy,
from the lady initially. Like, she was standoffish until she got to know me, and then she was cool because it was like, oh, there's a black girl here. Like what?
Is
now?
There a problem?
Are you now going to try?
I really
are you now
going to
check
you know?
My man? But that's from the woman.
Who's black? From the men before? I've had it from
who's
men.
Black? The man or the woman?
The woman is white, and the women will give you attitude.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I said. Yeah.
But what I was trying to land with is that sometimes when I've gone out, and basically how we started the conversation is that we as black women sometimes are labelled as angry black women when we see a black man going out with a white girl. And I was trying to say sometimes when I've been out, especially now in my old tender age, and I've seen how the black guy can come up to a girl, and he may not necessarily come out correctly, but he's not rude. He's just a bit like, you could do better. And she might just be like, the girl will just instantly have an attitude, be like, oh, you were talking to that Becky over there, now you're coming to talk to me. You could do you know what I mean? And he's like, why are you angry? So what if I was talking to her?
This is back in the day stuff, though, surely.
But it happening now, the youth of today, like, I still go out. Pre-COVID, I was there on the dance floor with the young'uns. Look, and I say this with my chest, but I've seen it. Like, I'm just looking at these girls, and I'm thinking, like, my man's just coming to say hello. Fair enough, he might be like, yeah, you're right. Like, oh, you, yeah, whatever. And he may not necessarily be saying it. His approach may not necessarily be the type of approach that you want. But then the girls, the young girls, have this attitude. And
to be honest,
like,
I've seen, to be honest, even when I was young and even now, well, I don't go out much anyway, but I see what T is coming from. And I've always been that person that even if I'm with someone and someone approaches, just be nice. Just laugh and just say, you know what, I'm taking, or, you know, there's no need to, it depends on if the guy's really, really rude.
Yeah,
that's different. But when they come, I've had so many approaches, and it's just like, look, and sometimes you're looking at the guy and you're just thinking, really, I would never ever really even talk to you, but you just be nice, because sometimes it's about safety sometimes as well. You just never know who that person is. Sometimes you just never know. You've had stories of girls being as the youngsters call it, chirped. Do they still use that word?
I don't know.
But as you've had girls like that being chirps approached
me.
By guys
he
and being rude
me,
yeah.
He chirps me
being rude, and then something happens to them. Like, I don't know, I think a few years ago in Carnival, where a guy was trying to talk to a girl and she was
in
being
America,
rude, and he ripped he ripped off her hair, and it was all over social media.
Oh.
Ripped out her hair, has turned. That's what I'm saying, you just never know what kind of
just
man
be
is
humble,
approaching you.
Because
just be humble and say, oh no, you're cool,
cute.
You're cool.
Relax.
But I've got a man, just, you know. So I see where you're coming from, but where I was going to go with the whole black and white thing was sometimes when I'm out, I get that attitude more from black men. It's so funny. Like, I get more like that standoffish, that, yes, I'm with a white woman, and so what? It's like, in my head,
no,
I'm thinking,
woman cares.
Prove.
Take exactly. up with your mom. Take
in my
up
head,
with
I'm
your
thinking,
mom.
You have nothing to prove to me. Like, I'm very happy with that.
If that's
I'm
who you
happy
like,
you.
You don't need to have, if this is who you are and you're happy in it, you don't need
There's
to have
no
any
to be
attitude
justified.
Because you are, that's you.
Mm,
if you're
exactly.
coming with something, you're trying to prove something to no one because nobody cares.
To
but
me,
some of them
like,
have just gone
like
a lot
them.
Of times. Some
Ugh.
Of them are
not comfortable.
Got in that
for me, it's that you're not comfortable.
Yeah.
You're not comfortable. It,
half
it
my family is going to be mixed race. It's not a problem. Like, what next? Like, I feel like people are just too shallow and pathetic and just small-minded these days, and I just can't take it.
Listen, everyone has their what they want for their family and what their type is or their preferences.
That's my type.
But I think everyone just needs to respect everyone's preferences. Like, some people will happily say with their chest and say, I only want a black family. Some people say, I only want a white family. Some people, and that's up
fine.
To them.
Go and live your truth.
Some people don't care. Some people would actively look for certain things. So I think when you see someone on
on the streets and they're with whoever they want, you should just, there's no need for any attitude or any look or anything whatsoever, whether they
it's homosexual or lesbian or whatever they are,
just let them go past. And I feel like now everyone else is entitled to be who they want to be, but this the stereotype of black angry woman when it's a black and a white woman,
it's so boring.
It needs to stop, because
black and a white woman,
them,
I mean white woman,
man and a white woman, I think it needs to stop. And I hate, like, as Paulina says, I don't even go to the comments anymore because I think it's annoying, and all those social media platforms that put it up, I find it annoying. Like, why are you putting it up? Why is it a thing to talk about?
I just saw that Josh from Love Island, like a few years ago, who was dating Kaz, he's now gone and got another girl who looks exactly like Kaz, and he's like, oh, now I've gone over to this side. And everyone's like, oh, beautiful couple, buff couple, this, that, and the other. When Priscilla puts up a picture, when they put a picture of Priscilla and her husband, people are casting the fact
boyfriend.
That her husband,
oh, Priscilla.
Priscilla, sorry, what's her name?
Patricia Bright.
Patricia. They have comments about that. Everybody has a comment about something. Just be quiet. No, just be, I'm tired of everybody's unnecessary opinions to put people down for no reason. It just infuriates me.
It's the world.
I think sometimes people want what they can't have, and then they see it, and then they pick on something to make them feel good.
So they think by being this way, it's going to give them blessings.
The thing is, if you think about it, it's not about Patricia Bright being with a white guy. It's what she has, that happiness,
and
being with someone.
And the fact that she's a white guy with a white guy.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, especially when you're black, and especially when you're a black woman and you're with a white man and you have lots of things, the perception is that the white man gave you that thing. And because Patricia is forefronting all her stuff, and I followed her from when she did,
but
she was just doing her hair.
Yeah, I remember.
She was worked in finance. She's built herself up. Mm. She's built herself up, and she's managed to do that along with her husband. But people that don't know her and that just stumble across her will just think, oh yeah, you're just that black girl that's got a rich man, and that can afford to do all these things. And that's the stigma. That's the stigma that white black girls have when they marry a white man, that the white man's going to carry you. When actually, no,
she's got her own, and she's done really well.
And then when it's the other way around, there's a stigma that because black women are constantly trying to look for the perfect, you know, I don't know, what's his name, Morris Chestnut or whatever, when they see a nice black guy who's with white women, we're bitter about it. But we're not. We don't actually care.
It's go like you're happy. Enjoy yourself.
Exactly. Do what you need to do. All you need is to just go, hey girl, where did you find him? Has he got any brothers? Because I want to know. And that's about it. But there's always this thing that we're going to be harsh. And sometimes it comes from how
we
act.
The thing is,
comes
from the history. If you think about it, it comes from the history that
we got to break generational curses.
As we see, as we've seen in Lovecraft, there is a time in the 50s or the 60s, there was a thing about black men wanting that fairer woman, wanting that white woman. So it's in there for some black women, especially in America, is there. So it's not just come out from nowhere that some black women don't like it. It's a stigma that has, I mean, a stereotype that has happened, and in some women's mind it's still happening. So I don't think it's just that every black woman doesn't care. There are some women that actually do care.
We do care, like, but I agree what you're saying. So when I say we do care, I agree with you there. But I don't think any, and I can't speak for every black woman, but I don't think it's enough for, especially in UK, for a black woman to see a mixed race couple to then be like frowning, like, "Sha, what are you doing with her?" Do you know what I mean? She'll just walk on by. She might stare you down, but that's
it's
about
just
it.
It's pathetic, because even if he likes black girls, he's not necessarily going to go with you either. So having that attitude is just dumb.
Yeah.
Just leave people as you find, like, meet people as you find them, accept them for who they are, and just let it be. Like, that's just, I think that's how it should be.
So we spoke about interracial, we've just added a topic to our conversation. Back to the train. The train topic. Because we digressed. I just think that the people in that community are fighting a fight, and it's being heard. And I think it's easier to serve them, as in that community, than it is to serve one big community. And I think our fight is bigger than just having a train. Our fight is bigger than just having
things
for
just
on the train, really.
I mean, people in those communities are dying, but, and I don't know the statistics, so I can't say, but we see a lot more, what we see a lot more, especially on in media and in the States, is a lot more Black people are dying. Mm-hmm. And we see that a lot more. I'm not saying that people in that community are not dying. So my, I say all of that to say our fight is bigger than, oh, why can't we get a train, or why can't we do this, or why can't we do that?
Yeah, and then it becomes very playgroundy.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just say, though, did you see about these men who were attacking three transgender women?
Yeah,
just minding their business. And
So they have their problems too. Every community has their problems, but great, and it's great for the LGBTQ plus community that they've now been able to secure something like have their own trains and have
questions
people that can work
but
on
there's discrimination however, within there
but discrimination sorry. Everywhere
sorry to interrupt you, but does that mean you can only get on that train if you are in that community?
No, I think it's more it's staffed by staffed? LGBTQ. Not that you can only get on if you're gay. Like that would be ridiculous.
I guess if you're homophobic,
I'm like, I'm gay. Can I get on the train?
Yeah, and I guess if you're homophobic, you're not going to go on that train anyway, right? But if
you'd want to get on the train to cause problems,
yeah. Either way, but
yeah. Hope it's a good transition for them. It's a win for them.
Exactly.
They're happy, so it's a win for them.
Yeah. So
who's funding it though?
Who else will fund it?
Is it government funded?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Just curious.
Probably.
I mean, it's a shame. I just feel like everybody should just be free to do what they want to do if it's not hurting anyone. Like I was just saying earlier, what you do behind your, when you're in your house, you're in your home, as long as it's not hurting anyone, just be.
Yeah, but you keep saying what you do in your house behind your closed doors.
As long as it's not, you're hurting anybody. You're not hurting anyone.
It's love at the end of the day.
Love is love. You love who you love. Can you help it? Can you help sometimes you're attracted to waste men? Sometimes it's just anybody.
Love is the only way.
Yeah. So I applaud them for fighting the fight and being able to secure something like that. Really.
Wonder how long it actually took to get there, to be honest, as well. Can you imagine?
Yeah, we don't know. Okay, so
anyway,
so guys, that wraps up episode 13 of the Fully Geek Ladies. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please don't forget to tune in next week, where we'll be discussing more of Lovecraft's Country. Am I saying it right?
Lovecraft Country.
There we are. Well, we hope you have a great week, and we'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.